Good morning again to everyone. Some of you came in after the welcome time. We're so grateful that you're here with us today. What a joy to worship. We're going to be in Romans chapter 15, verse 17 in just a moment. A brief word about the COVID guideline change in Davidson County that came out on Friday. Well, we had already made some decisions here at Grace that starting today, 9 o'clock worship would be mask required, this service not. Flip-flop that on Sunday school. We did not want to make a change that late in the game because we didn't want to create confusion among anybody. So we just stayed the same today. But we will, as we said last week, continue to listen and watch and see what's going on. So any further changes that happen related to the 9 o'clock service or the 10:45 Sunday school or anything else like that will be coming out in email this week, or it'll be posted on the website after we have a chance to talk as the leadership here at Grace. So just some have asked me. Just want to share that with you. Now, we're in Romans, and we're in this last section where Paul is giving us his personal words. He's writing personal words to the Christians in Rome, and interestingly, it's from these very personal words that we have a sense of the priority ministries of a local congregation. So last week, Romans 15, 14, we listened to Paul talk about the ministry of the congregation among itself. He said they're full of goodness, they're filled with knowledge, they're able to instruct one another. This is mutual discipleship, and certainly that's what we want to do here at Grace Community Church. We want to help each other, be helpful to each other to follow Jesus. And then this week, we're going to pick up in verse 17 of chapter 15, and we're going to hear Paul talk about ministry beyond the congregation, or our ministry beyond ourselves. And basically, it's to partner for global gospel proclamation, making disciples of the nations. It's a big aim, a big task. But we need to hear this today, because I sense that as people are returning to life, normal life, a reset is happening in many areas of life, that the church has an opportunity to renew our vision. We're going to talk about that word a lot today. Renew our vision and our commitments to the priorities of a local congregation. And where do we find them? Right here in Romans 15. Last week, our ministry among ourselves, mutual discipleship. This week, our ministry beyond ourselves. We see it in this text. Stand with me in honor of God's word, and I'll read to us. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, those who have never heard will understand. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution to the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what I have collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. This is God's word. You may be seated. So as we've said here in this last section of Romans, we're into the personal words of the Apostle Paul to the congregations there in that city. He has commended them for being able to make disciples of one another and building them up in faith and Christ-likeness. He's talked about his own calling as an apostle, preaching the word of God to the whole world. He's even giving them his travel plans, which we might think are rather boring and unnecessary, but even in the travel plans, we find purpose. We find vision. We'll move on next week into chapter 16. He's going to greet a whole lot of people by name. We'll even find something there edifying. Why? Because Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's been called by Jesus Christ. He's writing with the authority of Christ. He's writing as a representative, an ambassador of Jesus Christ. So these congregations and congregations throughout history have drawn from what the apostle wrote under the authority of Jesus, vision and instruction in his very personal words. As we said, these words today are giving us instruction about our ministry beyond ourselves. And so we're going to see that in three ways this morning. First of all, he gives us God's agenda for the world. Second, he gives us some very practical ways that we as a congregation can participate in God's agenda for the world. And then third, we're just going to end on that word vision. First, God's agenda for the world. It's found in verses 17 through 22, and I'm going to state it very simply. God's agenda is to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Not stopping short of the whole world. To push on to those who have never been told. To go where the name of Christ has never been named. God's agenda is to get the gospel to the world. Now, the way Paul says that in these verses is first to speak about his own work as an apostle. He says, really, it's the work of Christ through him. And then he's going to reach back into the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, and he's going to pull out from there God's agenda, which becomes his ambition to get the gospel where Christ has never been known. This is how he starts, verse 17 through 19. He said he's proud of his work for God. Stop. Is he allowed to do that? We said last week, you know, when he said, I'm confident that you're full of goodness. Are we allowed to do that as Christians, to talk about goodness in people when we know that people are sinners? And he says, yes, it's the goodness of the work of the Spirit. In the same way, he says he is proud of his work for God, meaning he takes great joy in what he is doing because he believes it's good. He is enjoying the sense that God is doing something good through him. In case anybody misunderstands what he's talking about by using the word proud, he says it's really Christ's work through him. He said this often. He said he's working hard, but not himself. It's the grace of God through him. He talks about what the Spirit does through him. Christ is working through Paul, and he's excited about what Christ is doing through him, and that's okay. He knows, Paul does, that the Christian who is united to Christ, who dies to self, who offers him or herself up to God as a living sacrifice, he knows that God works through that person for good. And so we can be happy about that and take joy in it and even talk about it. It's good. Now, the good here, specifically, that Paul is doing as the apostle, is bringing the Gentiles to obedience. Now, back in chapter 1 of Romans, verse 5, he expands that just a little bit. He says, to bring about the obedience of faith among the Gentiles. Because what God is calling from humans when they hear the gospel is that they would believe, that they would trust in Christ. That is obedience to God. And Paul, preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, is pulling them forward in this obedience of faith. Now, this word Gentiles, what does that mean? Kind of an interesting word, isn't it? We don't usually go around calling people Gentiles. But most of us in this room are Gentiles. We have a few who are of Jewish descent. Here, when he uses the word Gentiles, he's talking about the nations beyond the nation of Israel. Paul was a Jew. The Messiah, the Savior, the Lord, Jesus Christ, came from the Jews. That's what Paul's talking about later when he says that the Gentiles have shared in the spiritual blessings of those Jewish believers in Jerusalem. Jesus came from among the Jews. But the plan of God all along was to start there, not end there. To go beyond that nation, the nation of Israel, and that people, the Jewish people, to all the nations, to all the peoples, which he calls the Gentiles. Paul is out there. He is out there preaching the gospel. He didn't just stay in Jerusalem or in Antioch where there was a thriving church. He moved out preaching the gospel, leading Gentiles, non-Jewish people, to faith in Jesus Christ. He says that he did it, verses 18 and 19, by word and deed, meaning his preaching and the integrity of his life. Signs and wonders, miracles Christ was doing through him to authenticate his apostleship and to open up minds for the preaching of the gospel. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he says. Why that? Well, we know. We know that to receive the gospel, to hear the gospel, to believe the gospel, to respond to the gospel in faith is a spiritual issue. It's not just an intellectual issue. It's a spiritual issue. It includes the mind. But it goes deep into the soul, that place where the Holy Spirit must work to bring out of that, to bring that person to understanding and bring out of that person faith in Jesus Christ. He's doing it, he's preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we pray for that. I pray for that when I preach. I hope you pray for that when the Word of God is taught and preached and the gospel is shared in one-to-one. Paul, he says, preached the gospel in a circuit, a circular path. He started in Jerusalem, went all the way to the western edge of Macedonia and back. He didn't get to Rome yet. He never got beyond Rome westward. But he made it his ambition. He said it is his ambition. That's, he used the word. Again, stop. Is that a word that a Christian can use? You know, are we supposed to be ambitious? The answer is absolutely. When it comes to the glory of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, he says he makes it his aspiration to push. Verse 24, past Rome onto Spain. Verse 20, to go where the gospel has not been preached or heard. This is some kind of ambition for a man in the first century who had to travel either by foot or animal or ship. No modern transportation. He wants to push it as far as he can go. Is Paul just, you know, an ambitious overachiever that can be dismissed? Don't you love overachievers when you get around an overachiever? Do you feel really good about yourself when you're around an overachiever? Is Paul that? Do we say, oh, that's just, you know, that's just big talk, pushing the gospel where it's never been heard? No. Paul is a man captured by Christ. Paul is a man who's tasted deeply of the goodness and the grace of Christ. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who puts his trust in him. Paul did that. And he lifted that cup of salvation and he emptied it. And then he looked at it and it wasn't empty and he kept drinking. And he's been drinking every day since. He's captured by Christ. And then he's rooted in the revelation of God in the Old Testament. Hearing from Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 52, that God has sent his suffering servant, we know him now to be Jesus, to do a work on behalf of the nations that they might know the grace of God. Paul has tasted this grace himself. He's rooted in the Old Testament prophet, and with that, he has vision. His vision is God's agenda to get that gospel to those, Isaiah 52 and 53 say, who have not yet been told, who have not yet heard. With this vision, Christ is doing that through Paul the Apostle here, and Christ continues to do it through the church. God's agenda. I love to look for places in the Bible where God's agenda is laid out. One of them is, here's maybe my favorite, one of them at least, 2 Corinthians 4:15. I talk about it all the time. You all think I just made it up. No, it's a Bible verse. That grace might extend to more and more people, that thanksgiving would increase to the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 4:15. That grace would extend to more and more people. More and more people, not just a few. That grace would extend to more and more people. The Bible says that. That thanksgiving would increase. That God would be glorified. This congregation this morning is like a microcosm, mini one. How about that? That's a double, isn't it? A mini microcosm of God's work in the world. We enter knowing that we've tasted the grace of God in Christ Jesus. It has extended to us. And we enter singing songs of thanksgiving to the Lord. And in singing our songs of thanksgiving to the Lord, flowing from the grace of God that has touched us on the deepest level of our souls, bringing salvation to us, God is being glorified. So that verse is happening here as a way of saying it's to happen in the world. And Paul knew this. This was his vision. He's a Jew, but he had a vision of Christ coming from the Jews, the nation of Israel, and going to the Gentiles, to all the nation, and this fueled his ambition. And you know what? Now, Gentiles, like me and you, most of us here at least, Gentiles who have received the gospel, we have this same vision. And we're to take up this same ambition. The gospel got to us. So God's agenda, the gospel to the nations, where it's never been told, never been heard, it's the apostles' ambition, it's ours too. Let me ask you some questions about God's agenda to get the gospel where it's never been heard. Do you see the grace in there? Do you hear the grace of God in there? It's rooted in Isaiah 52 and 53, the suffering servant. Who is this one? Jesus. Jesus is the good news of Romans. It's Jesus who came and died and rose again, and he did it for you. He did it for me. God went to great lengths to extend his grace to you and me. Are you tasting this grace in this agenda of God? God sent his son who came and lived a sinless, perfect life, a life of righteousness that he would grant to us as a gift, impute it to us and credit it to our account. He sent his son who lived that life and then died our death on the cross. He sent his son who died our death on the cross, atoning for our sin, to be raised from the dead, to grant us life. And he came, this son did, bringing grace upon grace, grace and truth. You're tasting this. God still sends. He sent somebody to us. Someone went. You and I have been told. Now we hear. Do you taste the grace? Do you believe in this? Do you understand it? Do you understand that apart from God, apart from Christ, you're separated from God? Do you understand this today? You've been wondering, how are you going to be reconciled to God? Have you been wondering what's your future going to be? Have you been wondering how you're going to stand before God on the day? You know, we all know. We all have it since. We're going to meet him. Have you been wondering these things? Here it is. When he talks about the gospel to the Gentiles, he's talking about the word to you and me that tells us that we can be made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. We can repent of our sins. We can trust what Christ did on the cross to forgive us of our sins. We can be raised up, as we saw in the baptism, raised up to walk in newness of life. This is God's grace to us. Do you believe this? Have you received Jesus? Have you repented? Have you come to him? Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Tell us about it. Let's talk about it. Here's another question. Do we find our ambition in this agenda? Now, I know your ambition in life is probably related to a certain career path. Great. Your ambition in life is probably related to a specific achievement that you want. Great. You want to contribute in some way to the lives of others? Yes, of course. Christians have these goals and these aspirations. And also, because we are the recipients of God's grace in Christ, we also have the ambition, the desire to make Christ known to the nations where he has never been proclaimed, all to the glory of God. In other words, the apostles' vision, ambition, becomes the church's. And both the Apostle Paul and the church of today root our ambition in the agenda of God in Christ Jesus. Is this our ambition? Do we have ambition? So let me ask another question. What is stifling our vision? What is eating away at our ambition to preach the gospel, to contribute as individuals, Christians, and as a congregation, to contribute in some way to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the world? Something is eating away at our ambition, stifling it, shrinking it down. Why? Why would we be people of small ambitions or ambitions for things other than Christ? Maybe we thought that when we came to Jesus Christ, he was going to fulfill our ambitions. I was talking to someone this week about why people walk away from the faith. And that's happening a lot. We're hearing more and more about people who say, well, I once was a Christian, but I've decided no longer. Why? Why would that happen? Because very often, people come to Jesus in the first place for how he will fulfill their expectations, their agenda. Now, very often, we see the Christian faith not as you come to Christ for Christ's sake, but Christ comes to us for our sake in terms of fulfilling our ambition. And then when it doesn't happen, there's a disappointment. There's a walking away. There's a turning away to something else. Oh, well, if he didn't work, maybe this will. Another reason that sometimes our ambition gets eaten away at and shrunk down to a smaller size and it's being stifled is because congregations as a whole, like this one, become concerned primarily for the needs of our congregation. Of course we have needs in a congregation. And of course there are concerns for Grace Community Church. But sometimes we get what we call ingrown. And we don't lift our eyes. We don't look out. We're focused on what we have to get done here to make it happen. Oh, I know this temptation. I'm a pastor after all. We have to lift up our eyes. Maybe we've lost ambition for the agenda of God because some individuals have strayed so far from the congregation that they're not connected to people who can fan that flame, who can stir them on, spur them on to love and good deeds, and spur them on to the vision of God's global gospel proclamation agenda. And then here's one. Maybe our ambition is less than what it should be for God's agenda of the gospel to the nations, because we've come to believe that our city and our nation and the nations need something other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. I fear this. I fear it. I hope it's not true among us. But in case we're ever tempted to drift there, I want to say this, okay? There are lots of needs in the world. There are lots of needs in our city. And they are legitimate needs. And Christians can be very much and should be very much a part of helping meet those needs. But my fear is that Christians, evangelical Christians, have come to believe that those are the primary needs. And that the whole idea of getting the gospel message of Jesus Christ to the places that haven't heard him is no longer valid, no longer legitimate. Brothers and sisters, no. No, no, no. This is what God has, this is what's on God's heart. This is the vision that God has laid out. Verse 21, those who have never been told of him will see. Those who have never heard will understand. That happens when the gospel gets there. Now, as we've answered the question, what has eaten away at our ambition, maybe we're being brought to a place of repentance. And that'd be a good thing. It really would be. It's not a bad thing. Listen, don't fear this. It's not a bad thing to have to repent. I've been repenting all weekend. I've done some repenting this morning. Attitude, mind, unbelief, stuff. Don't fear this. As the Lord speaks to us and draws us back to his heart for the nations, his heart for our ministry among ourselves and beyond ourselves, we're going to be brought to some repentance, and let's run there. And when we do, and we're renewed in vision, we're naturally going to ask another question, and that is, well, how? How can we be a part of this great global proclamation of the gospel? I mean, after all, it's just us. You know, we don't look all that special. Well, Paul tells us, and I'm going to move quickly through this next part. First thing we see is God's agenda. Second thing we see is our ministry beyond ourselves. Verses 22 through 20 through 32, we see Paul telling these people how they can partner. Here's the situation, okay? The Christians are in Rome. They've got several congregations meeting. They still have a lot of needs there. And there are still some people there who haven't heard the gospel. So they still got to be taking care of Rome. They still got to be preaching the gospel in Rome. And they still got to be taking care of each other as a congregation. But Paul is not in Rome. He's probably in Corinth when he writes this, which is across the Adriatic to the east. He's looking back to the west. He's seeing Rome. And he says, I want to get there because I want to go past you on to Spain. But before I do that, he's going to take an offering. He's going to take some money back to Jerusalem. Because why? Because somehow, for reasons, the Jewish believers in Jerusalem have fallen on hard times and they're suffering a lot of poverty. They're impoverished. They've got needs. Famine probably is what's happening. And there are many of the people in Macedonia, he says, Gentile believers who say, look, we love these Jewish brothers and sisters. We got the gospel through their nation. Let's give back. They start giving money and Paul says, I'm going to take the offering back there. And then after I do that, I'm coming to you. And when I come to you in Rome, I want you to partner with me. And so he's speaking to a local congregation, and here are some things that he says. Here's how they can partner for this agenda of God to get the gospel. Okay, so here's one. He says, first of all, back to verse 14, by all means, keep doing ministry among yourselves. By all means, keep out of the goodness of the Spirit and out of the knowledge of Christ, continue to instruct one another and do mutual discipleship. Don't ever stop being a healthy congregation. You have to do that if we're going to have any impact on the world. Grace Community Church, let's keep at it. Let's keep at this mutual discipleship together. Second thing he says, verse 25 and 26, he says he's going to Jerusalem to take this gift, this offering back to the impoverished Jewish believers there. So certainly he would be saying, if there's anybody in Rome who's going to come across the Adriatic and land in Corinth where I am, and you want to bring some money, I'll be happy to take that on to Jerusalem. Grace Community Church, let's stay generous. Let's stay generous with our giving. Our giving to get the gospel here and there. Third thing he says, verse 24 and verse 32, he says, when I come to you, I want to be helped along the way and I want to be refreshed by your company. So he's going to land in Rome. He's going to hang out with them for a while, fellowship with the church, and they're going to help him. They're going to feed him. They're going to clothe him. They're going to pack his bags. They're going to refresh him. They're going to pray for him. They're going to love him and fellowship and laugh with him. And then according to his plans, they're going to get him on his way. His plans did not come about the way he had hoped. He got to Rome, but not the way he thought he was going to get to Rome. He never got to Spain. But that was his ambition. And he told these people how they could help him. Grace Community Church, let's help. Let's be helpful to the people among us, from us, who are headed to the dark places. You know there are dark places in Nashville. This week, I had conversations with two or three people. I think it was three, two, can't remember. Anyway, two or three people this week from Grace who are teaching the Bible in some dark places. Some places where people are fearful, some places where people are incarcerated, some places where people are in hiding in our city. If you really look closely, in the corners, in the cracks, if you lift up and look underneath, you'll see in Nashville, Tennessee, there are some places where people, maybe they have heard the proper name, Jesus, but they have not heard any explanation that comes with that. And they have no idea what he did for them. We've got people at Grace going there, into those places. And you know what else? We have people coming to us, and they're here. And when they're here, and they're among us, and they're coming from places who do not have, and those places, there is not a credible witness, explanation of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they land in our city. We can participate in the agenda of God to go where Christ has never been named, to speak where it's never been spoken in a clear way without leaving our city. Let's send. Let's go. Let's support. Let's refresh. Let's help. Not to mention around the world. We have a list of people serving cross-culturally. You always talk about these people. Why don't you name their names and their places? Some of them we can't. We can't say who they are and where they are. You want to know? Find Justin. He'll tell you. But they're there. What a joy. They come home, they go back. We're trying to refresh. We're trying to help them exactly the way Paul is talking about here. We can do this. We got to get our eyes up and see. This is the calling of God. And finally, the fourth thing. So he has said, you can partner with me by keep doing your ministry among yourselves, by being generous, by refreshing and helping those that go into the dark places. And here's another one. You can partner by striving together in prayer. Verse 30. I appeal to you, brothers, And he means all the church, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. And when he uses the word strive, he means it. I want you to get the picture of exerting great energy, of wrestling in prayer. Why? Because the gospel to the nations, the gospel to our city, the gospel in the dark places is a spiritual issue. There are spiritual forces that are fighting against this every day. In fact, let me just say, one of the other reasons that our ambition is so small is because the enemy has gotten to us. It is a spiritual battle that we're fighting. It requires spiritual power. And so we pray. We pray because God has ordained prayer as the means to receive that power. Let's be fervent, striving together. I cannot tell you how grateful I am. These past months, at the people who have texted me on a regular basis to tell me that they're praying for me. What a gift. I'm not an apostle. But as a pastor and as a preacher, I've sensed the spiritual nature of the last year and a half. I've sensed it. This morning, 3 text messages came in. I don't know by what time. It was early. By 6:30 or 7 at least. One of them came in at 5. In fact, by the time I first looked at my alarm clock at 5 and then got up at 5:10, a text message is already in. Praying for you this morning. What a gift. Brothers and sisters, not just me, each other, these that are going, the global cause, the unreached people groups that we've put on the screen, the persecuted church that we put on the screen, let's strive together in prayer. Let's get vision for this and make it our ambition. Speaking of vision, I'll close with this. It's easy for us to live in the moment. It's easy for us to do in the moment simply what makes life work in the moment. And I don't say that to produce any guilt in you. I don't. Listen, I know life is demanding. I know. Life is demanding and we must take care of today. We've got to go to work. We've got to meet the pressing needs. And the Bible actually tells us to work hard with your hands, meet pressing needs, don't be unproductive. Good. But in the moment, and the moments, doing what we've got to do to meet the needs of the moment. We can still, can't we? We can still have vision. God has revealed himself to us as the righteous and holy God who's both just and the justifier of sinners who repent and believe in his Son. God has revealed his Son, Jesus Christ, the righteous one whose death on our behalf forgives us of our sins, whose resurrected life grants us life to come. God has revealed his agenda, which is to get this message to the peoples and the places that have never heard. God has revealed that he does it through people, through an apostle, through congregations like ours, doing ministry among ourselves and beyond ourselves. And God has revealed the end. And the end is in Romans 16, which we're getting there. He will crush Satan under our feet. Why under our feet? Because it's Jesus who will crush him and we're in Christ. This God has revealed. And so this becomes our vision. So as we are going about our daily task, as we are meeting the needs of the moment, yes, we must take care of the concerns of the world, but can we not at the same time be praying that the agenda of God will become our vision, and in being our vision will become our ambition, and we will be a church ambitious for the glory of Christ? If so, we will not be disappointed. Our Lord, thank you for your word, and we pray. We are calling out, striving now together in word and prayer. Have your own way with us, Father. Take a moment. Has the Lord spoken to your heart in any way through the word in your mind? A correction, a new energy, a vision, a word of thanksgiving, a joy over what he's doing, something, respond to him as he has spoken to you.